Hello, friend. I hope I can call you that. This is the real Errol Strider. The man you're about to hear on this program is a fake Errol Strider, which will become obvious the more you listen to him. But we indulge him, we understand him, and we recognize his need to be able to express himself thusly. As you may remember from our last episode, we found Errol Strider and his wife being dropped off at Lupin Lodge, a clothing optional resort in Northern California. And this is the place from which they are broadcasting the show that you are about to hear. Actually, it's more of a conversation. It's a conversation between two people who consider themselves idiot savants. And it will be up to you, listener, to determine whether you're getting the savant part of their expression or the idiot part. With that being said, have a go.
It's January 10th, 2017, and this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains, where it's pouring down rain, up California, Northern California, recently known as California having a drought. But we're here cozy at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we want to welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, of course, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many surprising voices of Errol Strider.
Our sponsors are our good friend Jeremy Bead, artist, spiritual sojourner with us, and Go Raw, that makes raw, natural food that is just fabulous.
Go Raw, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. Go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood. I have to say it's very disconcerting tonight because the rain is so loud on our roof that it makes me uncomfortable. It feels like it's going to come through any moment. As you might have read, it's raining very hard here in Northern California. A drought has ended, and in its wake is destruction.
Oh, boy. There you have it. And, oh, boy, it's our show's three-year anniversary that we've been broadcasting from here at Lupin Lodge, Inside Out. And we're excited to begin the fourth year. We're so glad you can be here tonight to celebrate with us and set the stage for what promises to be a year of some significant oh boys. And then there's the oh boy, because this is the week that President-elect Trump's cabinet recommendations come up for Congress approval. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
And because there are numerous other reasons to exclaim, oh boy. So, oh boy is the featured phrase of this night's conversation. Now, oh boy can denote surprise, consternation, excited, expectation, oh boy, worry, oh boy. And what you might say when your in-laws are unexpectedly coming over for brunch in an hour.
Oh, boy.
During tonight's conversation, we hope to trigger several, oh, boy, the plural for boys. So welcome aboard. Some of these old boys we're going to look at tonight may be welcome, and some may not be so welcome, although the latter provide growth opportunity. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right. When I heard, oh boy, I had lots of concern, so let me express them. Oh boy, it's a shock, it's a surprise, it's a disaster, it's oh boy. What a way to describe it. But why not, oh girl? Well, it came from a male-dominated consciousness, and it is so ingrained in my mind that I'll just leave it all alone and pick bigger concerns. Oh, boy, I got out of that one.
Oh, boy. Good. I've got a major old boy to get into tonight because last week, as you may remember, where we last found Errol Strider, He was about to read what potentially was the darkest possible book he could read. In fact, it is called Dark Age America by John Michael Greer, who has a very long grayish beard. And it just kind of points down there to the down below where a lot of the problems are gathering.
Oh, boy, what are we in for today?
Well, they are. And basically, his premise is our society, like all other empires and civilizations, is dying. And it will die for lots of reasons. And that's what he covers in the book, all the reasons why it's dying. But as he points out, it's not necessarily a quick process. But it is dying. And he expects the next 400 or 500 years, it's going to just fade out. Actually revert back to a dark age. He has a very compelling argument as to why that could happen. Looking at the political situation, the economic, nuclear bomb potential, oh boy, the weather.
Oh boy.
Inequality. He lays it on and he's got a lot of good backers behind his point of view. But I want to cut to the chase. Here I sit. This is what I've been grappling with, recognizing, as I have in the last several months, that this system is really, I know you're sitting out there and thinking, where have you been, in a bubble? In all honesty, yes, I have been in a kind of idealistic bubble. For those of you who know me, you've seen me in the bubble, but it's always been good to be, well, bubbleized. Not many people can say that.
Oh, hang on to your seats. We're in for it tonight. Oh, boy.
Okay, let's cut to what he says. He says, 5 points that might help guide those of us who are recognizing this inevitable calamity that we're already riding into, we as the world planet population. Okay, first, it's crucial to remember that our predicament is anything but unique. That's an interesting point. What do you make of that?
Well, history shows that it's not unique.
Right.
Great civilizations have come and great civilizations have gone.
What that does for me, just the thought of that was, oh, so it's like a rerun. Oh, boy. In a new format with new technology. One of his premises is that when something is unsustainable, at some point it will stop sustaining. It can't. But this isn't the first time. It's not unique. Second, one of the lessons the past offers is that the fall of civilizations is a slow, uneven process. So there's a good chance you still can get tickets for a concert that you want to see. You'll be okay.
Oh, boy.
But it's just going to progressively get worse and worse and worse and come apart in slow and sudden bursts, and it's already started. Okay, third, another of the lessons offered by the past is that the long road down is not going to be easy. That's kind of self-evident, unfortunately. It's going to be a rough road down, okay?
You just read them all. I'll give my comments afterwards.
Oh, this is the fourth one. The harsh dimensions of the future can be mitigated and the positive aspects fostered by preparations and actions that are well within the reach of individuals, families, and communities. And the fifth one is, while this book has attempted to sketch out the most likely overall shape of the de-industrial dark age ahead, we can only guess at the many details.
That's probably the thing I would resonate with the most, that you can only guess at the details. I always think that people who look to the past and go, oh, well, this has happened, and you see we're on the same road, and therefore this is going to happen again, leave out the realm of surprise. Surprise exists in the universe. The universe isn't quite as predictable as I think people who want to predict it believe.
Oh, boy. So they might surprise us this time, and we won't go on a civilization decline, because just at the moment when we think we're done for, they bring in Deus Ex Machina.
Maybe. But let me explain something.
Okay.
One of the things that's happening in this time that hasn't happened in the past that we can relate to all the time with great civilizations is our planet, because of the technology we have, has totally shrunk. It's gotten extremely small. When something happens across the globe, we know about it instantly. Before, with the great civilizations that existed prior to this civilization, when something happened, it would take weeks, months before you even knew about it. There was a disconnect. Here there's a connection. Whether we like the connections that we have or not is immaterial. The fact is we are connected to each other in a way we've never been before, and that's brand new. I just heard the Chinese are heavily investing in doing everything to create alternative fuels to combat climate change. They're investing millions. They want to be the premier country to address this. They'll leave us behind. That's a big
thing.
Wait
a minute. See, I watched this film yesterday, the Chinese, where they're buying and building cars. This whole documentary was on the fact that that's what's happening right now.
But it's not happening right now, because right now, that documentary that you just played happened months and months ago, and it's all changed. The speed of things happen rapidly now, where something would take a long time to get done. Now it happens. Boom! All of a sudden, it's different. What I'm saying is that it's not as dark as the age that you seem to think it is.
But either way, it's already darkening, so...
No, it's only because it's nighttime.
Oh, boy. That was so bad. Anyway, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're looking at least I'm looking at, what is my response in the face of these impending circumstances that I've become...
Supposedly impending.
Let me...
Okay. I just want you to say it correctly.
Well, that's how you would say it. But who says that's correct? Rabbi, did you think that was a correct way of saying it? Well, I'm not sure that being correct or incorrect and one versus the other, because when you think about it, it's all incorrect and it's all correct. It just depends upon your point of view, what you want, and what's showing up in your life. And if it's a good thing, I was correct. And if it's a bad thing, you see something like, I should have bought it. If only I had bought it, I could have been a contender. So in the meantime, let's say you got a real predicament here. But it's always been the predicament. Nothing's new. Because you knew at some point, 4 or 5 billion years from now, the Earth would collapse into the sun, barring a surprise miracle, of course. But in the meantime, you are going to disintegrate, right away, within 100 years. That's all the same thing to look at. It's facing death. And as someone said, a very smart man many years ago, he says, you haven't really begun to contemplate until you've contemplated your own death. So when you contemplate the death of the Earth, Errol, I trust what you're getting out of it is a sense of this shared experience, and all that's important is that that makes you more compassionate. And you're doing a good job. Oh, boy, you are going to be the compassionate guy. Thank you, Rabbi.
I go back to why we're here. If I'm here to grow my soul, then all of this is just food for that growth. Anything that has to do with the future is not real as far as I'm concerned. And it could be doomsday and it could not be doomsday, but it doesn't matter, as Rabbi said. It doesn't matter. If that predicament, whatever predicament it is for me to grow my soul. How I deal with it is what matters. Oh boy. So there, I said it.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that it's about surrendering.
Lost and alone on some forgotten highway, traveled by many remembrances. for something that I can believe in. Looking for something that I'd like to do with my life. There's nothing behind me and nothing that guides me to something that
was Nana Nena, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Mouskouri. Sounds like Greek. Oh, yeah, she's Greek. It says here, I'm a Greek, in Greek word, is that I'm looking at. I think it says I'm a Greek because it's using a Greek alphabet. But you know what? It was Greek to me.
Oh, boy. What's the name of the song?
Sweet Surrender. I think she really sums it up. So I have a choice here. I think we all have this choice. That is, whatever it is, it's all corruptible, no matter what. Your body, your death, the last moment, whatever, dreams, passions, desires, it's all disintegrating. The whole thing is a civilization, each of us as individuals. Okay, there it is. Now, given that, I can operate on the assumption that I'm okay, it's all good, no matter what. I can even dare to hope that that goodness lasts forever. I love that term, dare to hope. Existence is a grand, wonderful thing. I'd like to believe I'm still moving on it.
You say it's all good. I don't know that it's all good. Some of it is really not good. It's a mess.
I didn't mean that part of the all. I meant the part of the all that was over in the left half. Okay, not the all part that was in the right half. But go ahead.
I still believe it's not what happens, it's how we deal with it. That's the important thing. And yes, you're talking about be prepared. Find out what's going to happen and be prepared. We've never lived our life that way, you and I. We've lived together for 42 years, and we've been the most spontaneous people that we know.
We came in unprepared. That's how unprepared we have been. We were born unprepared.
We're not people who prepare for tomorrow. Oh, boy.
A branch just fell on our roof.
And it sounds so loud.
And it sounded scary. Really, and it's still rolling around.
Oh, boy.
And it has a brother.
Oh, boy. It's a little scary when you live in
a scary.
Small cabin.
Not as scary in the house as would it be in my tent, you see. But my tent, even though I'm not there, my whole office is set up in there. I got a monitor, I got computers, I got the whole thing. And a tent is really, well, flimsy.
Tents are tents.
Oh, boy.
That's when man went from tents. Well, they went from caves. I mean, they were actually caves were much more solid than tents were.
Yeah, but tents allowed us to roam.
They did. We'd pick them up and move.
Yeah.
Really hard to move a cave.
Much harder. But there is this other side of me, though, when I think
There's
about...
There's another side to you? After
remember
all
I talked about all number one? And right brain, left brain, all number two. Well, this is the top brain and the bottom brain. I don't have a problem with my left and right brain. It's my top and bottom brain that are out of whack.
I can concur.
Yeah, okay.
This is an aside.
Oh, sorry.
From all the things that are going on. Tonight's an anniversary show. We've been doing this show from Lupin for 3 years and 3 days.
Whenever I mention it, they say, do you know how many listen? And I go, not really. I have no idea. So if you're one of the special ones that are listening, bravo, way to go.
And it's our anniversary week. 42 years we've lived under the same roof. Actually, it wasn't the same roof. I'm going to have many roofs over the years, but we've lived together under all those roofs. It's been a trip. We've had more good moments than we've had yucky moments, but the yucky moments were big. The good ones were marvelous, actually. We birthed 2 kids, we parented together, and now we're grandparenting together. And all the time, we have been in real agreement about what's truly real in our lives.
Our core value that we share, which is it's always better to get it wholesale.
Or always put ketchup on your French fries.
Were those the shared value? Something like that. We invite you to look at what is your shared value that you share with somebody that goes when you see each other and you recognize that you have this shared value, shared essence, intention, and you go, oh boy.
Oh boy. And our shared value is very spiritual, I would say, more than anything else, because we shared a lot of physical values too.
Skin, to say it's
buns. Oh, never mind. Sure. I'm going off on a tangent. It's being scared about the rain coming into the roof.
The value that, in essence, because on one hand, it's the belief that this dimension that we call spiritual is an actual substantive phenomena.
I'm not talking about spiritual that way, are you?
Obviously I am, because I just did.
Oh boy. I think more than anything, the realization that there's more than just this physical reality. There's more than that which always dies. There's something beyond that.
That's why I'm comfortable with really the word, not spiritual, but metaphysical.
Okay, I like metaphysical too. We'll coin that together.
We did that. We did a show over 30 years ago called Metaphysical Cartoons and Inner Escapades. And we did it in Chicago at Mundelein College. And people came, and it was wonderfully successful. We ran it for several weeks. These people came from their church, Catholic church, and they loved it. They were in a workshop that I taught on Paul Alive, about the Apostle Paul, which I had just taught at Loyola with a theologian in residence. You know who you are, don't you? You're the guy who's the, you know, do I have to think of your name?
Oh, boy.
You'll be okay.
Now
you know?
We start to realize how our brains are leaving. All the little corpuscles of our brain are just shrinking into nothingness.
There's this faith in this dynamic. One of the great lessons I've learned from studying the latest Yeshua Jesus teachings, the very latest, the fourth upgrade, you know, it's like I have Dragon Naturally Speaking and I've got the 13th. Well, this, for me, was the fourth upgrade version of Jesus and what he has to say. Bible, your ancient book, Course in Miracles, Conversations with God, and now the current favorite on my list are the talks that he gives in the books that were recorded by Glenda Green. One of the things he mentions, motion is a core phenomena and dynamic of life. He has a whole section on how do you adapt yourself to motion? What are the ways in which you can participate in that motion? I really get the feeling that that motion is really the flow, and it's about how to ride that flow. Because sometimes the flow is very, shall we say, exuberant.
Oh boy, it is exuberant. One of the things I realized as you were talking, I was thinking, 42 years, what have you learned most about yourself in terms of this relationship?
Rochelle's a better cook, that's all. I can't say. Not that I was a bad cook. It turns out I was a good cook, but I was repressed it all these years because, well, she was a better cook. Oh, boy.
It's because I really love
She loves cooking, and she loves cooking for people. And for those of you who have fantasized at a great event, you should get your butts out here to Lupin Lodge, stay in one of the yurts, wait till it dries out a little, and come on over for dinner.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Errol has coined a phrase that I love. And he says, if we really knew, we'd be laughing. As this relationship has evolved from the passion of meeting each other and the, oh, yes, you know, I agree with you 100%, and then realizing, you know, well, I don't agree with you 100%. I actually agree with you maybe not as much as you think. Finding common ground. And then just keep peeling away the layers and finding the joy and the laughter in just the relationship itself. It's funny. We're funny together, and we're funny apart. We're just funny people. Not because we are uniquely funny. People are funny, and we're especially funny.
But you're ridiculous, Michelle. Come on. I mean, let's call
it what it is. I totally agree.
You
are ridiculous. Oh, boy, am I ridiculous.
You know, they say, well, it must be impossible to live with Errol, which I think is setting firm boundaries. But Rochelle is difficult, which is more gray, not so black and white area. Difficult is like, oh, okay. I mean, impossible. It's like, there it is. It's the end. While we're thinking about that, hello.
Impossible is really nice because you can't get any possibilities.
I'll say this in deference to last week's show. It's about time.
It's about time. It's about time. Yeah, it's about time. It's about time. So turn your back on the California coast, headed east, leaving only your ghost behind. The Pacific Ocean just wouldn't do. Drawn to that Atlanta blue was the mecca of the world you would find. Saying it's about time. It's about time. It's about time. New York City, where you come to play, and New York City on every Sunday, how they will pray for you. It's about time. It's about time. It's about
swallow.
It's about time. Josiah Ventnor. Talk about motion. This is what Yeshua says about motion. And he was talking about motion. He left the Pacific and went to the Atlantic. Something pulled him there. I was pulled this way. Motion is the power and the instrument that has made this whole expedition. He's talking about this whole phenomenon of coming into existence and universe and God and love and dynamics and life and this and the other, especially the other, three times the other, actually, as it turns out.
Oh boy.
Motion is awesome force that is not limited to the actions of physical matter. Motion also propels your thoughts, feelings, and the personal essence from past to present to future in an instant of fluid awareness.
You like that?
Well, yeah, it's as good as chocolate to me.
Then why are we so scared of the motion of things falling on the house?
Well, there's motion, see, and then there's lack of motion after it has fallen through the house. See, that's the
but
part.
But it's still going on. It creates an energy that continues. If we really truly believe the continuum of it all, we wouldn't be scared. What can I do to relinquish my fear to this motion that's going on all the time and see it with love? Because if it's real and it's happening, I want to embrace it rather than push it away from me.
Oh boy, it's good. I love what the Arantia book says about it. Unreasoned fear is a master intellectual fraud practiced upon the unsuspecting mortal soul.
We've been screwed with that one.
In some ways, it's very generous of the loving universe. It's so generous of itself, of life and existence, that it will even allow fear to be a part of the dance of universe and reality. Because clearly it is, at least on this level.
It's just simple. Species survive because of fear. It's just getting all mixed up about who you are. When you think you're your house, you think you're your things, then you get frightened about that loss rather than just your corporeal body.
I was there when that happened.
You were?
Yeah, like 10 minutes ago, just before we started the show, I was contemplating this breakdown of civilization. I mean, it's awesome when you think about it. What an awesome phenomena that this thing is shifting and moving. What Yeshua says about beginning and ending this story is ending. This story was characterized by oil, at least the last 100 or so years of it. Oil that is energizing the planet, and it's going to be gone. There'll be a transition until something else shows up, or we just, as he says in his book, keep cascading down into a new and improved dark ages.
Problem is, you won't be around, I won't be around for me to say, you see, I was right.
I told you so.
I told you so. Yeah. Oh boy, I wanted to learn right.
Wanted to have an oh boy.
I told you there was going to be a surprise and you wouldn't know, and it's not going to be as bad as you thought, see?
Speaking of surprises, this is Father O'Malley. It's something, darling, how the universe will come along and just do something that you didn't expect. And out of your mouth came these amazing words. Oh, boy. And sure enough, there you were, facing something that had a bit of a surprise to it. And life keeps throwing up these surprises, seeing how you respond until you finally make sure you get the joke, because it's a punchline in every surprise if you just look for it hard enough.
Thank you.
Do you understand that?
I totally agree with you. There's a punchline in every surprise.
In every surprise, actually, but sometimes you have to be patient because the punchline might not come right away. And in between when it's time now and when at the time it will be coming, it might be, well, like he says, not too comfortable. Might be kind of painful.
And it is, as a matter of fact, and has been and will continue to be for so many. Then there's this pain that was part of the generosity of love, we hope.
I asked you this question the other day, and I'll ask it on the air. How does it feed you? How does it work for you that you know all about this and to read about all this gloom and doom and all this stuff? I asked you that. What did you say to me?
First of all, I want to correct you. It's not gloom and doom that I've embraced. It's doom and gloom.
Oh, boy, I'm so sorry. I'll get it right.
Okay. The doom is almost for sure, but the gloom is an option. You don't have to be gloomy about it.
But okay. You're not answering the question.
Which was what? What does it give me to have it?
Yeah, how does it serve you to know all this?
It feels like I've extended the reach of my soul and being into circumstances that are way beyond me personally. Somehow to recognize that I'm a part of this amazing coming apartness that's causing many people to go into, oh boy, oh boy.
I have to agree with one thing.
Oh, you have to.
Getting older, the breakdown of the physical body, which is akin to the breakdown of civilization or anything else, it comes apart, it dies. There's making peace with it that I'm aware of every day. I wake up and there's pains that weren't there before, or being able to run the way I used to run or walk as fast or do whatever 20 years ago that I can't do anymore. There's this sense of making peace with it. This is where I am right now. In a way, that's kind of funny that this body that I'm in right now has changed so much from the body I used to be in. And I get to look at it and find a certain joy in it too, and a certain wanting to hold me with compassion and love. So if the planet is doing the same thing, which I'm sure it's doing, you know, in one way or the other, then I want to hold it in love and not be afraid of it any more than I want to be afraid of me falling apart and dying.
The other thing it gave me is just a sense of connection with so much that's going on. I just feel in my heart the profound, deep sense of connection, a sharing of the awareness of the pain and the pains and the craziness and stupidity and immaturity. It's just a bunch of immature humans poking about trying to evolve.
Oh boy, it is apparent. It's more apparent than ever.
But the inertia of this part that's just holding on for dear life, that's what greed is. It's just holding on to something that is actually dying as it passes through their fingers. So you can't stop. It's greed. It's just runaway dissatisfaction, runaway fear that keeps grasping onto more and more and more, whatever it is that it made it seem like it was sort of almost solving the problem, but never really did. Which is why you went on to the next one, and more of that, and more of this. And then, if you're clever and smart, only a small percentage of the human population has all that moreness.
And yet we see it in our granddaughter. She's not even 2 years old, and already the more has taken over. When it's pleasurable, she wants more of it. So we create what we think will give us pleasure. More drinks, more drugs, more money, more this, more that. We want more of that which gives us pleasure. And I think when we evolve and we realize that joy is definitely more than pleasure, and we want more joy, our life can change. It's what you want more of. peace.
If I may jump in here, this is Barney.
You're going to jump no matter what.
I would like to put a plug in for more... Well, sex, really. I mean, I like the joy part.
Oh, boy.
The joy is good, but there's something special and unique about the sex part that just makes a guy feel like, this is good to be alive here. This is terrific. I love this part here. Is this a taste of what's going on in the bigger universe? And not only does it taste feels so good. Out of it, potentially, often as not, comes a new kid. A kid is born. Oh, boy. And there you have it. And the kid is interacting with life, and he's having the sex, and then all of them are getting together, and then they have to deal with each other. They formed this civilization. He's having sex, and he makes more of them. They don't know how to get along, and we keep bumping into each other, and we're working it out slowly. We finally got the rule of law. This is a good thing.
Rule of law? What's that?
If I could jump in here, this is Senator Beauregard. The rule of law is like the Constitution. It's the rule of law that is set into place to guide and protect and maintain, nourish, and keep healthy your society, as opposed to some tyrant or oligarch or king. But in fact, as many of us are seeing here, we have given ourselves away to this oligarch or king or this tyranny. And it's the tyranny that the money symbolizes. Let's face it, it's the tyranny of living as if we were disconnected from everybody else. That's the tyranny. If you're feeling that way and this is all that's it, well, then you can just gather up as much of the wealth as you want and be damned, the rest of them. That's the way a lot of people feel about it. And that's why, at this point, as you know, in the past, I have been proclaiming the mission of these here United States. And so this has been important, Errol, that you've been doing this research, because now we can see that the mission needs to be, shall we say, accelerated so that it has time to do the good that it was meant to do in this here supposed Republican democracy. Oh, boy, there you have it. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank you, Senator. It's always great to tune into the world of politics. Rochelle and I sit out here in the woods, shivering in the cold and the trepidation of a limb dropping through our roof.
And for many people, that's reality all the time.
See, that's
fear and trepidation of nature. You're succumbed to drought, you don't have enough to eat, you can't get from here to there because there's floods. And this is a reality on this planet that happens all the time to many, many, many people.
It's happening right now.
And yet we're in a far more comfortable situation. Oh boy, I feel a sense of gratitude.
Oh boy. Just to give us a feel of that gratitude, this is a wonderful way to feel it. This is by Ruby Vell and the Soul Phonics. And she's saying the same thing, coming at it from a different direction. It's about time.
The story of our future be a new tune or the same old song, because who we are only history knows. But where we are going, oh, it hasn't fully been told, fully been told. And it's
And the Ruby Bell.
Phonics.
And the Soul Phonics.
Well, that has some soul in it. Well, this is what I love.
This is the message that I want to come out tonight.
About time we decide together.
For example, I'm convinced by the vision that is put forth in the book, Serving Humanity, Alice Bailey, and I have copies of that.
So if any of you want to read that, you let me know at eastrider@gmail.com.
Or just go to my tweet, Donald Trump.
I happen to have a tweet named Don Trump.
That's part of what we're dealing with here.
Humor is going to be a major factor in helping us get through.
We're going to need to laugh a lot.
Someone's going to be going through a lot of pain at any given moment.
Have you read Doonesbury this weekend? Gary Trudeau has been revealed against somebody, but not really pointing out all of Donald Trump's faults.
So what's the best way to get to Donald Trump? He's such an egomaniac.
Let's just compliment him all the time.
Yeah, you are the greatest egomaniac.
And then he says, you guys are funny. You're really funny. You're much better than those Saturday Night Live people.
That's funny.
Gary Trudeau becoming my hero.
He's really saying it like it is. The laughter, especially laughing at the pain, really lubricates it. It's like Neosporin for your inner psychic pain. It doesn't even need to band-aid. Just blather it on. As a matter of fact, sometimes, just as an exercise happening in your life, speak your thoughts out loud.
Give yourself a minute or two. Some people take their thoughts very seriously. All the more reason to laugh at them. But it doesn't matter. You won't laugh at them if you don't decide at the beginning that they're going to be funny. I'll pray for those people. Oh, thank you.
I did a show once that was supposed to be funny, but we didn't tell anybody it was a comedy.
And the next time we did it, we said it was a comedy, and they laughed. It was the same lines.
You got to let people know it's funny. It's going to be funny or not. We don't want to be funny. We don't want the funniness to occur with this line. So I'm going to leave the funniness out. For those of you who are facing or in this roughness of life, it's causing you stress and pain, and it's great to get comfort from the inside as well as the outside. The inside, as a matter of fact, the spirit of truth, the spirit of life, Jesus somehow ignited into the local planet, is called the comforter.
Having a place you can go inside where the comforter is waiting to give you a massage.
It'll make your rolling session playing with sand. No, that's not a good metaphor. Take it back. Like watching a movie in reverse. Like watching a movie in reverse. Yeah, lubricated. Wanted to be lubricated. So it came out as sand, but now it's gone. So we've got five more minutes to spend with you, and I want to thank Jeremy Bead, Rob Friedland, CEO of Go Raw. Beautiful guy. Rob, congratulations on your new baby.
It's happened in your life. I hope it's all going well. Where this is taking me, this journey, is to reaffirm my faith. My friend John in Boulder, questioning everything, and he says, "Keep faith." And I wrote him back, and I said,
And I wrote him back.
Fortunately,
said,
the faith is keeping
fortunately,
me.
The faith is keeping me.
So we're keeping.
So we're like
we're
a co-keeping.
Keeping,
we're like a co-keeping
deal.
Faith
deal.
Faith.
What faith does for me is
what faith
it gets
does
me
for
to
me
activate,
is it gets me to
use of my will to
use of my will
to make perceptions, actions,
based
and decisions
based on the assumption
fertile,
that
robust,
fertile,
alive,
robust,
ground,
alive, ground,
always there,
always
to
there,
support every step
to
I take
support
in
every
my life.
Step I take in my life.
And there's flowers
and there's
smells
flowers
and waterfalls
and waterfalls.
And even though it may be sloshy
and, even
it may be sloshy
where
and uncomfortable,
where
it's,
I'm
in a larger field
it's in a larger
of field
of existence,
of the abundance of existence,
packaged in the form of love,
packaged in the form of
and
love
and life.
Oh boy, that's nice.
Oh boy, that's nice.
Oh boy,
got an old boy out of you.
I got an old boy out of me because I had no idea that was going to happen.
That's what I look for. That's what
I always
look
know
for.
It's in you. And I always know
that's
it's in you.
That's why I'm with you all 42
that's
years.
That's why I'm with you all 42 years.
Many people.
All for that long. All for that long. I've stayed around this long for waiting to hear that.
If I may be so bold, if I may be so bold, Professor Umbridge, why
Say the line again.
That's such a rich, juicy line.
Which juicy line?
The one you thought of that was how you got there. Yes, because I'm wrong.
I've seen you through a variety of challenging experience.
If I may say this, to your listening audience,
if you would like to have some
if you
of
the
understanding of the life of Rochelle
read
and Carol,
that is entitled Frederick
that is
and Frederica.
Frederick
oh,
and
yes.
Frederica.
Oh, yes.
By Mark Helfrin. By Mark Helfrin.
It's a silly little
it'll
book.
Tell you exactly, it'll tell you exactly
who we are.
And we often say that to each other.
Are you being Professor Umbridge? Are you being Professor Umbridge now, talking about Rochelle and you?
Just a minute, let me see if I can
schizophrenic. Schizophrenic.
No, not you.
Would you make it? Professor, thank you. Can you come on the show?
That was a good one.
We have done pretty well in crisis.
Sometimes when things are just going really well, we can bump into each other a little bit, but in crisis we somehow manage to find the humor in it all.
I know what I wanted to say. One of the big things I've gotten out of 42 years is it doesn't matter what you think of me.
Or me. I feel the same.
Or me.
Very free.
If you do nothing else, but get to nothing else.
Oh,
but
man,
get to
it's
that.
Clear sailing.
Oh,
man,
I know I am, no matter what. Exactly.
It's so funny.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
I know what I wanted to say. One of the big things I've gotten out of 42 years is it doesn't matter what you think of me.
Or me. I feel the same.
Or me.
Very
free.
If you
do nothing else, but get to nothing else. But get to that.
Clear sailing.
Oh, man, it's clear sailing. I know I am, no matter what. Exactly.
At the same time, you could sit here
and
do this radio show,
which we share with radio show,
once
we share with
live from Lupin Lodge,
live
from
Lupin Lodge,
where clothing is optional.
And you can choose.
Come visit us.
You can choose.
Exercise your
us. And let me hear from you, East Rider.
Let me hear from you, East Rider.
gmail.com.
I just don't want to forget any of that.
What do we need to remember?
We need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Oh boy.